And we are back. Thanks for tuning in to part two of today's Party Line Talk Show. New Year, Lori Jacobs, here, Dutz. In studio now, I have Scalinati Fragnito, and we're going to be discussing the ongoing community meetings on possible amendments to the Gatnawaga membership law. Welcome to the program, Scalinati. So, people, since the beginning of this year, it was January, there have been community meetings to deal with the possible amendments to the Gatnawaga membership law. And so far, there's been 5 meetings. And Tuesday that just passed was the last meeting. And so far, like since January, the people have agreed the people present have agreed, to use the community decision-making process to amend this law. And people did agree that there should be some amendments to this law. So now what the groups are looking at is what needs to be amended in the Gatnawaga membership law. And so people are looking at that right now and, discussing who should be a member and what is the criteria to be a member. So that's kind of where it is right now. And there was a lot of discussion, a lot of good discussion that happened on Tuesday. And it's going to be ongoing, but there's a lot of different stories that if you don't go to these meetings, you don't hear the people's personal stories. So you've been an observer in the meetings, and I just wanted to ask you, why are you just an observer, and why are you not a full participant?
Well, first I'd like to say thank you so much for giving me a voice today, Lori. I am only for those who don't know me, I am the daughter of a Mohawk woman, granddaughter of 2 Mohawk people, and great-granddaughter of 4 Mohawk people. I have a clan. But my mom is married to a non-native man, and so I do not have membership in the Gatnawaga Wamangihanga registry. Therefore, when I come to the meetings, I am allowed observer status, which is the same status that anybody could have coming into the meetings. There are tables set up for observers, but I'm very happy that but the tables are set up in such a way that you can't actually hear what's going on, and so one thing
which means that you can just observe,
you watch it, but not hear
but
it.
You can't hear it.
I have found but we are allowed. The observers are allowed to sit now in a group, as long as we keep our mouth shut, which is very difficult.
Well, it would be very difficult, especially if it is affecting your life.
That's exactly right. So I feel that also, of course, so I feel this affects my life, but it also affects the lives of a lot of people like myself. And there are a lot of us. So, of course, I guess the main thing that I feel is that the law as it stands now and most of the iterations of this law have had one very deep injustice, and that is that the Mohawk women who married non-native men were stricken from the ban list, as were their children, while at the same time the men who were Mohawk and married non-native women were always kept on the ban list as a little added extra dig. Their wives were put on the ban list, and their children are on the ban list, which is fine, of course. All of it is fine. I actually don't want anybody to lose any rights.
Well, right now, though, all the people that are non-native by birth are not on the ban list at this point. They're not on the ban list.
I don't think that's true. I think the women who married, the non-native women who married native men before 1981, which was the moratorium on mixed marriages, I just was rereading some of the documents that they've been giving out and that I've been trying to keep myself informed with, and I believe it says that none of those women lost it. They still have native status, actually.
But they're not on our the banned list. Like they're not on the ban list. And the reason why I know that is because I've worked with the elections for many years, and all non-natives by birth are not allowed to vote in the community elections.
Yes, that's true. Sometimes it's confusing, isn't it? Well, maybe not for you, but I've been really trying to keep it straight in my mind of the, you know, the Ganawagi, and plus name changes have occurred, but basically our Ganawagi membership list is different from the federal list. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had a, well, in our group the other night, there was a fact that came out, and we have a very, some people think it's a liberal list of requirements for people to be members, and some people think it's too strict. But over the last year, there have been over 300 people that were put on the Ganawagi membership list through Ottawa, and only 85 of those people met the criteria for the through the Ganawagi membership law. So, you know, I don't know what happens to the other people. They are on a list, but not on the Ganawagi list. So that's one of the interesting facts that we heard in our group on Tuesday. But in your situation, I just wanted to point out, because I asked you the other evening, because I know your mom, I know that you have the four great-grandparents, which is in the law right now. You have to have four or more Ganyagag great-grandparents, and you do, and you have a clan, and still your brother was given a membership. He was granted membership to the Ganawagi list. And what happened? Did you apply, and were you refused?
No, I did not apply. I do not believe that I should have to go in front of a committee of any kind. I think that's the deep injustice that I wish to see removed. So that's, yeah.
And my sister, my oldest sister, is married to a Cree man from the Peguis Reserve in Manitoba. And when she married him, she lost her rights in Ganawagi. Mm. So she had to, I guess, transfer or become part of his band, mm-hmm. in Manitoba. Well, in the recent years, like maybe 15, 20 years now, she's been living in Ottawa. She's just a hop, skip, and a jump down the road. And she wanted to, you know, transfer her rights back to Ganawagi.
She's not with him anymore?
Oh, no, she is.
Okay.
Yes. And she decided this is what she was going to do. She had to go before the Council of Elders and had to go through, which I felt was a kind of a degrading situation where, you know, you sit in judgment, mm-hmm. With different people in the community, and you know each and one of these,
yes,
persons
like
from
how
the community. And and some of the questioning was irrelevant to her being,
yes.
You know, because what they do, if people don't know, they have your whole family tree.
They already have it. You don't have to present that part. That as soon as you give them your name, they can look you up, and they have an actual chart,
yep.
with your family tree on there. I mean, it's actually awesome to have that, because I now have all my great-grandparents' Mohawk names and, mm-hmm. all their birth dates, death dates. So anyway, but I think a lot of people think that they have to go and do that work. That's actually already done for you. And then?
Well, right now, since 2007, the Council of Elders has been suspended. And as far as I know, it was a mutual agreement between the Mohawk Council of Ganawagi and the Council of Elders, mm-hmm. But some council of elders say they never agreed. But nonetheless, it's going on 6 years now, and they are, so there is nothing in place in terms of council of elders. So all of these years, people who are waiting to become a member of Kahnawake are in limbo.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's many people that are have every right to be on the ban list. You know, maybe they were married, didn't live here. They're now back here. They want to go to live in the elders' lodge. They can't do it because everything is on hold.
Yes.
So this is why this membership law is going through a review, and it's giving the opportunity to the community to be part of it.
Well, yes, and also, you know, hopefully what I would like to see happen is that it reflects the community. The new, as we are now. So there's a couple more things I wanted to say. One of them is that I really believe that membership should be permanent, that you never cannot be Mohawk, right? You can never not be Mohawk of Kahnawake. You know, if you're born here and grown up here and you're of these people, these grandparents and parents, how can when you marry someone or leave the territory, or like it used to be before, get an education or get a certain professional job, you cannot be how can you not be Mohawk anymore? It seems crazy to me, and it seems not who we really are, what our values have been traditionally, or what the values that we would want to have now and in the future.
Well, in our traditional ways, the marriage and adoption laws were very inclusive. And somewhere along the line, we got under the thumb of the federal government, and a lot of people bought into it. So right up until now, people have that thinking of like, well, if you married out, you're out.
Yeah. There was such an awful story that I heard in our circle, in our group. It was a gentleman who told the story of when he was a teenager, 14 years old. He was going to Billings and Chateauguay, and a young woman from his class, non-native, came over to do homework. And after, and she stayed for dinner, and after they that woman girl left, he was in his room, and his father came in and said, "If you marry that girl, you get the F out." And, you know, you could see how he said, the gentleman said, I'm scared. It was really scary. He said, "I'm scared now telling the story. And I'm scared. I feel that right now telling you too, relaying this other person's story, you know." And it seems to me really horrible, horrible that a father would let his son go so easily and would instill that kind of fear in him. There's, you know, there's another thing that, you know, people, I don't know, they don't talk about it, but there's, you know, I don't know, I would like to make a little nod to love and how it sometimes happens despite your best intentions. You have these ideas of who you're going to be with when you grow up, and sometimes that doesn't happen. And I think for it to be kind of thwarted, or to have limitations put on that, is very sad, you know. And to be, yeah, I think it doesn't allow us to be full human beings, which I, from my readings and my understandings, but I could be, you know, the past is a very long time ago, but it sounded like that's who we did want to be, allowing our people to be full human beings. That's our name, Umwe Humwe, right? To experience that wonderful range of emotions that we can experience. And so that's just one little thing. I know it's, you know, there's not a lot of room for that in a law to talk about love. But I just did want to mention that because I have this opportunity.
So right now in the law, as I had mentioned, the way the law reads right now, you have to have at least four or more great-grandparents who are Ganyat Bahaga, or one of the other nations of Seneca, Cayuga, Oneida,
mm-hmm.
Onondaga, Tuscarora, or Mohawk from another community. And right now, the discussion is people want to change it, maybe lower it to three. So three would be the criteria. So that's where people are disagreeing. And you see like a clear line, a line in the sand where people say, no, it's four and it's four. That's it. And some people are saying, but it should be, you know, to be more inclusive, it should be three. And there are people that agree with it and people that don't. But that's where the, I can't say we're stuck at right now, but that's what's happening.
That's certainly been taking the time, the, you know, taking up a big part of the time in our group meet, you know, the meetings. And there are three groups. When we attend these meetings, the people are divided into three groups to create smaller, more intimate groups, I believe. There's a facilitator with each one. And yeah, our group has been stuck on that. But, you know, there are a number of people who have been saying something else, which is, I actually wrote down some quotes. I was really heartened to hear it, which is, you know, I don't care how many grandparents there are. If you have a drop of Mohawk blood, you're Mohawk. If you have one Mohawk parent, you're Mohawk. Of course, this is how I feel.
Well, you know, a lot of other indigenous nations have that same attitude where, you know, if you have a non-native parent that marries into your, people call them nations, people call them bands, people call them tribes, whatever people call themselves, they accept them. And it seems that Gahnawagi is the only one mm-hmm. that doesn't.
Yes, I think there's only one other one. So even our own Iroquois cousins and, you know, sister nations, they do accept their Bill of C-31s, which is a horrible term. But it's like I use it as shorthand a little bit sometimes. Instead of saying they're Mohawk women who were, you know, taken off the ban list and the children of those women.
And now there's also the... people that come under Bill C-3.
Yes.
What I want to do is I got a message from off air, and it has nothing to do with this this topic, but the Independent Living Center up the hill across from JR's Garage, they are having a spaghetti luncheon, and they just called in and they said, if you would like spaghetti, they only have 30 meals left. So go by there. That's right across the street from JR's Garage. It's the Independent Living Center. They only have 30 more spaghetti meals left. So if you'd like to go and help them fundraise, that is a great thing to do. And I just have one other community reminder. There's a screening of Mohawk Girls, the pilot. It's tonight, Thursday, April 18th at 7 p.m. at the library over at the Ganyakahaka Ungwawan Rajijoka Language and Cultural Center. And it's followed by a question and answer period with a panel of actors and the director. So that should be really exciting. It's the pilot of Mohawk Girls, and it is this evening, 7 p.m. And it is at the Cultural Center Library, and everyone is invited to attend. So we're coming down to the end of our program. But, you know, when you look at it, I see you as a very open and honest woman with all of the criteria. You're meeting all of the criteria. And there are a lot of people in the community who don't have a clan. And, you know, and you were born into the clan. So, I mean, I'm not here to judge anybody, but if people are listening and you know, you really feel strongly one way or another, the next meeting of the Gahnawagi membership law, I believe, is the first Tuesday in May. I know that they had mentioned the time, it's probably May 7th, but where it will you know, don't hold me to that. But I know it's the first week of May, and it's usually on a Tuesday evening. It's between 6 and 8:30, so it's a very short time frame, and it doesn't go beyond the 2.5 hours, which I think is a pretty good thing, because you don't want to, you know, exhaust people.
Well, I think it's they have been trying to be very respectful. That's another thing I wanted to mention tonight, today on your show, is how respectful people have been to one another in these conversations, because this is a really difficult conversation and difficult. It's work. It is work to make this, to change this law. And it's very emotional. It's very controversial, and for people to come and not, and to speak always with such grace, I'm really happy to be seeing that, you know.
So we just got a confirmation. It is Thursday, May 9th, and that is the next meeting for people in the community to come together and discuss who should be a member. What should be the criteria? You know, if you have a thought on it, if you, you know, there's people in everyone's family that is affected by this. We also got another statement off air. It says membership is hard because there are a lot of people mixed. They're saying mixed people, but I know what it means. It means people of mixed marriages that are in the community. So it's, you know, it's kind of difficult, and we both have said it is a controversial issue. It really hits you. Maybe people don't think of it, but it really hits you after a while when you go to these meetings and you hear the personal stories, and it makes you look at it a little different. There was one story in our group where there's a young woman and her husband. They adopted an indigenous child, and when he turned 18, they said, well, you know, they thought he was going to be, you know, a full-fledged member because he grew up in a community. He has the language. He practices the traditions. He's all around. He meets all the criteria. And because he is adopted, they went to his original parents, and they said, "Well, that is your lineage," and half of the family, the father half of this, the biological father, is nowhere to be found, and the mother, they can only link her to three great grandparents.
Well, the problem there is that. It all comes down to blood quantum. The minute you say four or three, you know, nobody, what are we doing? We're pretending. It's not 75%, 50%. Come on. You know, and 25%, they're still numbers. They're just changing the words. And that's a little scary. That's why I think, you know, one parent, you know, I know that's very far in another direction, but I just want to say that I truly believe that this way can help to take away a lot of the hurt that is happening in this community. I hear about and see and feel my own self, the division that occurs because people can say to each other, oh, you're actually white. Oh, you're not really Native. You're not Native enough. That wouldn't, to me, it seems if you had one parent who was Native, you would be Native, and there, no one can say that to one another, you know? And I mean, to turn around, in this case you talked about, you know, when our traditions, this, I read the, just before coming in here, I read the preamble again to the Ganawagi membership law, and it talks about how it wants to take steps away from the Indian Act and go back to traditional government. Traditional, I assume, being before 1850s when the British North America Act, sorry, I might have that wrong, but basically when one of the first acts that started to govern Indians came into effect. Okay, the 1850s. Before that, from my understanding, we adopted people. Okay? Kateri Tekakwitha's mother was Algonquin. Okay. I don't know if she would have called herself Algonquin after she had given birth to her two children here. I think she, anyway, I don't know, but you know, she was adopted. Right? They, we have adoption. We had, you know, other people came in, were married in, and the clan, you know, it followed the mother's line. So for this, you know, for this law to stand that, you know, there's no mention of bringing the women back. There's, you know, to exclude adopted people and to look at, it's just, I find it heartbreaking for the child. How about those two adopted, the two parents, you know, who adopted a baby, wanted to give that baby all their love, all their knowledge, their culture, pass it on to this baby, and now this baby is going to be kicked out? Why do some people, and it is not all the people, but it just seems so sad to me that it's such an easy thing to throw people away or to scratch them off this list, you know.
So we are coming down to the end of the program. We have another minute or so. And I wanted to ask you, what would you like to see that would come out of the Ganawagi membership list or the Ganawagi membership law, the amendments and, you know, the meeting process that is happening right now? What would you like to say?
As you know, I wrote a tiny thing, and I don't want it to take up the whole minute because it actually only addresses one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read it because I think I worked on it. But there's two more things as well after this. This was the main thing that I started. Keeping Ganawagi Mohawk women who married non-native men and their children off the Ganawagi ban list is upholding a sexist, patriarchal, anti-traditional, assimilative, and genocidal policy put in place by the Indian Act. It is pretty long. So, you know, I'll cut it off there and I'll say that I want to see those women and their children reinstated with no questions asked, which by which I mean that they would not have to go before the Elders Committee or any committee. I would like to see Mohawk people who are Mohawk people never have to worry about losing their status. Doesn't matter who they marry. Okay, let's just talk about an individual, not a situation. Let's talk about the individual. And I can't remember the third one. those two are pretty, I think the rest follow from those two.
So I hope that you're going to be continuing to go to the meetings.
I am committed to going to all of them as long as, as long as I'm okay.
The next meeting of the Ganawagi membership law, that's through the community decision-making process. It's amendments to the law. It's going to be held on Thursday, May 9th at 6 p.m., between 6 and 8:30 p.m., and it is at the Gurun Yinuha School. Everyone is invited.